Very interesting text, very long text. And Paul starts out by saying that we fight in God's strength in verse 10. Now, you'll notice in 10a, he says, finally, that is, he's making a transition to the end of the book. And the Apostle Paul has dealt with a lot of issues. He's talked about recently about the home and about relationships and about those things. And he's talked about being imitators of God and talked about who we are in Christ and what we are to do. And so now he wants to come to a very critical point in the book, a very strategic point in the book, in which he talks about this life is to be lived out in a spiritual realm. I know we think a lot of the physical realm, that we are physical people, obviously, but there is something else out there that the Christian has to confront. And Paul talks about this forces of evil and dominions and powers and authorities and rulers. I love the ending of this message. I want to go ahead and get there, but then you guys would miss the meat of it. We look at this. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong is an imperative. That means to endure with power. And the root is being strengthened or made strong for something. As I went back and looked at that word strong, it appeared actually in the Old Testament, some of the heroes. Who could forget Joshua right after Moses died? Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. Obviously, Joshua was to follow the word, and through that, God would give him strength and his way would prosper. And Joshua went on to have many great battles for God and gained victories. And I started thinking about David. David, some of the problem brought on his own, because of his adulterous affair and some other issues that David had, but he found strength in God. So we go back to all the way back to the Old Testament, we see at least two major characters of the Old Testament. But what about those that were in exile? God said he would strengthen them in Zechariah 10. There's something about this word strong, which means that we are to be growing or securing some type of strength. I'm always fascinated by weightlifters. This guy's kind of strong. he doesn't get strong. I guess you can become strong and have some muscles without any resistance. You can, well, even if you do push-ups, you have some type of resistance. You have the floor. But how does this weightlifter get strong enough to do this? He has to have resistance. There has to be something external that gives him the power, that helps him to build up and make him stronger. Notice what Paul says here. He doesn't say do this alone. Notice what he says. Be strong where? In the Lord. That is the realm in which the strength comes. And Paul knows instinctively, even from his own life, the Apostle Paul knows that life is tough. That life is difficult, and we face a lot of hardships in this life. Joel Osteen's book, Every Day's Friday. As I look at scriptures, to me, every day's Monday in the Christian life. Yes, there's moments of joy, and there's times of happiness, and there's always that theme of joy through our lives, but ultimately, you do realize that we are against this culture. And you do realize that as we go into this world and we begin sharing the gospel and telling people about Jesus and doing the work of the kingdom, people are not going to like it. And therefore, it is going to require some type of strength to deal and endure with those hardships. And so the Apostle Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord. And by the way, we cannot win this fight on our own. We have to ask God to help us. And it's only in the power of his grace, his saving grace, his sustaining grace, that he's able to give us this strength that we need. He says, here he talks about the command, be strong in the Lord. The realm is which we find the strength is, or to be strong is in the Lord. But there's a condition that must be met. Notice what he says, and in the strength of his might. The Greek word there really refers to a supernatural strength. When I was a kid, I loved Superman. Did I ever tell you the time that I can't remember? I think I was 3 or 4, and you guys my age, maybe even older, you remember the old Superman? It was in black and white, and I would watch that, and of course, just like Ancient of Days, get you pumped up for worship. I got pumped up, and I ran upstairs. I'll never forget it. I ran upstairs, and I put a cape on and came flying down the stairs and jumped through the window. The problem is the window was not open. And so I was taken to the ER. Had to go to the emergency room. That's my scar right here, which was right here. I got my scar from that. I came flying down the stairs. My mom was in the kitchen. It hurt. That much I can tell you. It really did hurt. And I probably cried. And my mom took me to the ER. And I remember her holding and I was bleeding. And I don't think I ever did that again. I'm trying to remember if I flying down the stairs. You know, everybody that knows Superman, do you know what his weakness is? What? One in every crowd, Jeremy, one in every crowd. Glassonite for me, kryptonite for Superman. He became just like any ordinary person. The God that we worship is not like any other person. The God that we worship formed this earth. He spoke, and listen to this, he spoke into existence. Ex nihilo, out of nothingness, God spoke into existence the universe and the expanse and the stars and the planets. And then he spoke into existence when his spirit hovered among the over the water. He formed the earth. He formed the mountains, the skies. And then from the dust of the ground, he created man in his own image. And then created woman out of the rib of man, caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. And from the rib of Adam, he created woman to be a helpmate. That is exactly the kind of power that is available to us in our own lives. It is found when we are strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, God is able to do things that are supernatural in our own lives. By the way, Ephesians, Paul prayed this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he, God, may grant you to be strengthened with power in his spirit in your inner being. We do not do this Christian life, please get this. We do not do this Christian life apart from Christ. We do not do this Christian life in our own strength. We do not do this Christian life with the help of others. We do this Christian life simply because God has given us the ability in the presence and person of the Holy Spirit to be able to be more than conquerors in Christ. And it's only through his strength that we are able to even bother to live out this life in this here and now. Do you ever get tired? You know what I think? And true, the weather's having an effect on me. But do you ever need to be re-energized? Just by a show of hands, how many of you need energization? I haven't even had anything to drink, so hard to say that word. Just get energy. You know, God stands available and willing to give it. You ask for it. Those times when you are weak, he can make you strong. Paul says beyond this, we have to wear something, and that is wearing his armor. Look at verse 11a. Put on, which suggests urgency. By the way, I told David Wisher before, he could probably explain this a lot better than I am. But when a call comes in, when a call comes into those firefighters, they have to scramble to get ready. And they don't just go out there to fight a fire without any uniforms or any equipment. They don't just run out there. They probably could and do an excellent job, but they need equipment that will help them fight those fires and rescue people. And so they are getting ready to go out on a call. And Paul's word here suggests the idea of urgency. And the situation, at least that we face in our daily lives, is one of urgency. And therefore, the Apostle Paul says, put on the armor of God. Actually, in other places, it says deliver out of the fire, particularly when we talk about urgency, in, at least in evangelism. Notice Paul says here, the whole armor of God. So what is the whole armor of God? I think he's going to briefly discuss this coming up. The helmet of salvation, by the way, it starts here. You can probably have all these others, but if you don't have this helmet of salvation, that's the main target of any enemy. And the Apostle Paul will go through these next week. We have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, preparation of the gospel, the feet shone with the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, the loins with the girt with about with truth. All of these things are part of our armor. And I'll say this next week again. There is no back plate to cover the back. And the reason is Christians never retreat. If we go into the battle, which is daily, that means, well, actually, you should be putting it on right now, but tomorrow morning when you get up, think of urgency and think about these issues that are coming for the Apostle Paul. God provides the armor. God doesn't just say, okay, I want you to be strong in my might and go get them. God gives us the armor. We'll find out he gives us this. He gives us a lot of stuff to fight these enemies. So what's the purpose of this? What is the purpose of wearing the armor? He gives it to us in 11b. That you may be able to stand. Again, this word is unique. It means to offer resistance or to hold one's position. It's defensive. It means to dig in. And what I find today is many Christians do not stand. I think of our culture and what we are giving away as Christians. I'm wondering if the church, if we withstood the issue of a lot of the social issues that are happening today, if we just kind of given them away. This is what Paul is talking about, basically. These soldiers are entrenched. What they are trying to do is not so much advance, but they are defending a perimeter. Let me tell you something this morning. God wants you to fall, or not God, Satan wants you to fall. Satan wants to take ground from you. He wants to take spiritual ground for you. In other words, he wants you to just lay down your weapons and not fight against him so that he can overrun you. And the Apostle Paul saying that you're going to have the full armor of God, and when you have the armor of God, you will be able to be entrenched in your position. And when I talk about being entrenched, it's a multitude of things. We're talking about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus being the only way to heaven. We're talking about moral and ethical issues, standing firm. Yet, the church today, what is so annoying to me as a pastor, and I feel it passionately, is that the church has given away some of the holy ground that God wanted to establish for the church. We've given it away because we do not want to confront the culture in which we live. I'm thinking of same-sex marriage. I'm thinking of abortion. The church failed. The church should have been more vocal. The church should have stood harder and fast on some issues. And I think we've given it away. And then when we get down with these rulers and authorities, I'll show you how this works. Please do not give up ground. I'm very proud of our soldiers, by the way, in Iraq, Afghanistan, places where they hold those positions. Saw it on Fox News this morning. A man, IUD, had lost both legs. Notice what he says here, against the schemes of the devil. Now, you'll notice several times here, Paul uses the word against. Let's look at verse 12 just for a minute. I'm not going there, but I just want to look at this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, against the spiritual forces. That word against means a face-to-face confrontation. Guess what? Satan and demonic forces are in your face every day. Every day. Taliban and Al-Qaeda and all those have forced, because they're schemers and they're tricky, they have forced our soldiers to go door to door. A lot of damage can be done when they go to door to door. You step on an IUD, you come in, the enemy's in there, they have to be extremely careful. It's dangerous. I think we have been lulled to sleep. Christians, I think we've been lulled to sleep by the fact that Satan is really just a little red devil with horns and has a pitchfork, a cartoon pitchfork, and it's not real. I've heard Christians, I don't know how you claim it, but I've heard Christians that downplay this issue. I'm not saying anybody in this church, because we know the spiritual issue is real. And we know that Satan is real. And he attacks us every day. But there are Christians out there who just live their Christian lives. There's not one bit of spiritual conflict going on in their lives. There's not one bit. I don't know what this pastor's talking about. I'm not in any spiritual conflict. Guess what? Satan has you. He has them. The enemy is cunning and tricky here. I like what Dr. Honer says here. The devil does not always attack through obvious head-on assaults, but employs cunning and wily stratagems designed to catch believers unaware. In other words, sometimes this against is a scheming against. He will go around and make something look so right, when in actuality, it's so wrong. I think we need to get back to putting our guard up. That means that we start taking this Christian walk seriously and realize that we are confronted by a culture that is being overrun by demonic forces and satanic influences. And yet, sometimes Christians just treat it like, oh well. For the battle is spiritual. Notice verse 12. Notice the conflict. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Wrestle means conflict, struggle. This is what it would look like. Basically, hand-to-hand combat, if you want to call it this intense struggle. Oftentimes, you have somebody in your life that you really don't like. You got a boss that's not saved, that's just hard to work for. And, it's so easy for us to look at the person and think, that guy is an issue. That guy or that gal is a problem. Let me spin it this way. You do know that Satan uses people. And that when you have a person that doesn't know Christ and they do some horrific things, like Hitler, who sought to exterminate the Jews, that's not just Hitler. You do realize that there were satanic forces behind that. And that God uses all kinds of means to purge that. I think when we had our coalition back in World War II, I think God can handle that. We often think our struggle is against people, but it's really not. Our struggle is somewhere else. The person may be the symptom, but there is a disease at the root. And Satan will do anything he can to use people. Matter of fact, these next forces clearly show that Satan's at work. Lastly, let's look at these forces. So here we know that the battle is spiritual. That means it's not really physical. This is why you're not going to go dress like a Roman soldier. I get that. But it's going to be a spiritual dressing. You're going to put on a spiritual dress, spiritual uniform, spiritual weapons to face a spiritual enemy who does not like anything connected with God. I thought about this and I read a few scholars that are probably more up than I am on these issues. God has an order to his angelic realm. Did you know that? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Beyond that, it's cherubim, seraphim, it's archangels, it's angels, all of this ordered. I was amazed when you go back and you read Daniel, you see this. In other places, in Revelation, you see all this ordered stuff going on. Who are these forces? I think there's a demonic order here. The first is this: rulers, high-ranking demons who can influence people and their activities. Now, I cannot begin to tell you exactly how this order all fits together and plays out, and I don't think any theologian or scholar can do that. But they can do this. They can say, actually, the first two, authorities, are pretty similar. These two words, rulers and authorities, but the authorities have extreme power, and they influence people and their activities. In other words, if you have a lost person who does not know Christ, they are very easy to influence. In fact, the Bible says the God of this age has blinded their minds so that they cannot obey the truth. So Satan's activity, when you look at a lost person, and I've done this too. I'm not just preaching it at you guys. I'm preaching at myself. It's easy to get hung up on the person and forget the influence that is affecting that person. So now we start looking at our world a little bit differently. We start looking at, it's not so much the person, it's the influence that is taking place in that person's life. So how do we pray? Do we pray, God help that person? Or do we put it in the spiritual, by the way, pray in the spirit at all times. Do we put it in this realm and say, God, I pray that you would begin binding Satan's activity in this person's life so that they might be able to see the light of the gospel, that they might be able to see the things that are going on. Many of us, and I've done it too, you pray for the person and forget that there's a demonic or spiritual influence taking place in their life that is causing them to act the way that they are. So we have to begin looking at this. And these two, and I don't know how this fits. I know that these are the highest two. And then this other one, this cosmic but against rulers and authorities and against powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All of this is playing out around us and even up in the heavenly realms. Amazing when I went back and looked at Daniel, how God dispatched angels to take care of situations. Cosmic powers. I think I've come to the realization that cosmic powers are those demons, those I guess that's the only way to call them. That's the way I know it. It's the only way I can think of it. Demonic influences that infiltrate world leaders. They get them to do things. This guy in North Korea. This guy in North Korea is influenced by cosmic powers. So when we look at all the troubled spots in the world today, we can see, listen to it, it makes sense. When I looked up this Greek word, it talked about infiltrating world systems. So think about it just for a minute. Does God, I know I'm moving a lot, that's okay, I get pumped when I do that. God has a plan for this world, right? So God is moving. History is his story. God is moving the events, is he not? Is God not moving the events to the return of Jesus Christ? And the congregation said, okay, so if God is moving the world events to the culmination of Jesus Christ, wouldn't it be equally true that Satan would try to get a foothold in the world leaders to stop God's plan? Huge. It makes huge sense. Because if God can influence the world leaders if Satan can influence the world leaders to thwart God's plan, he's going to try to do it. Then there's this, and the scholars they're all over the board. Most of them kind of hang in this area. The spiritual forces are swarming demons of an army. In other words, I believe ultimately these are the ones that we fight pretty much every day. I'm not saying we don't fight all of them. These rulers that influence people and their activities. Somebody asked me, this is a while ago, and maybe I have too many senior moments, but I can't remember stuff. Why is there so much murder and killing, and where's God? What causes a person to go into a packed McDonald's and open fire? What causes a person to walk into a movie theater and start shooting innocent people? What causes Taliban to hate such a society and strap bombs to themselves and walk into the platoons to kill people, to mangle and destroy? Why is that? I got a simple answer for you. Satan's influence in their lives and activity. Satan's the one that's causing all of this issue, all of these problems, not only for believers, but for unbelievers who he's trying to use to thwart the plan of God. Guess what? Heard Adrian Rogers yesterday. It's coming back. Adrian Rogers was a great preacher. And he said this over and over, and he's gone, he's with the Lord now, but he said this over and over again in his sermon. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. That was what I got out of that as I was listening to it. And if God has a plan for you, and I totally agree with that, I think God has a plan for us, then you think Satan's going to try to thwart that plan? So, God says, he who began a good work in you will what? Carry it until the day of Christ or completion? So, how many of you think Satan just loves you guys? How many of you out here think that Satan is probably way too busy to worry about little old you? Mm-hmm. Usually, whenever I see something happening good in the life of the believer, Satan cannot stand it and then begins to attack. So I have learned something in my Christian walk. The more that Satan attacks, the more it makes me know that I'm doing something that God wants me to do. That's crazy, but that's true. So when a church starts to grow, I automatically know that Satan is not happy with it. And so he'll come along and try to mix things up. So when you bring those people next week, we're going to have some issues. At least I think. I mean, that's the way it seems to work. You are going to bring people next week, right? We're talking about this. Spiritual forces. This is one thing that you need to know, and I'm going to land this plane. So Dr. Windsor always taught us. He said, some pastors are good at getting the sermon up off the runway. And he said, some pastors can let you fly around and see the landscape. And then he said, then there's some pastors that like to circle the airport. And they never bring it down for landing. I'm going to try to land it. This is one thing we need to know, and Paul's already said it. This is the best part of the sermon, I think. This is what we need to know. Listen to this word. Listen to these words. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We got that. It's not a person thing. But against rulers. Listen to this. Listen to it again, because you're going to see it. Watch this. But against rulers and authorities and cosmic powers or dominions over this present darkness and evil forces. Look what Paul said earlier in the book. Watch. Everybody go 1, 2, 3. I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3. Watch. Christ, far above all rule, all authority, and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. Listen, the victory, the victory, the victory, the victory, the victory is ours. In Christ Jesus. None of these forces will be able to beat us or defeat us. They may hinder us. They may hurt us. They may slow us down. But they will not slow down. God, who Jesus Christ is above all this rule that Paul was talking about here at the end, the authorities, the powers, the dominion, all of that stuff will not be able to stop God, will not be able to stop Jesus Christ, and will not be able to defeat you and me. And he said that in chapter 1. It's like Paul went A, B, C, 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 B, A. It's like Paul says, I'm going to start with victory, and I'm going to show you that that victory will be secure even though you are facing troubled times. Paul was a master. He was a master writer. What happens when I get excited? I get tired. Please, this week, fight in God's strength. Ask Him to give you the strength that you need. And I know a lot of you fight spiritual battles. I know a lot of you have stuff going on in your lives that it's tough. I understand that. But I also think that when we wear that armor, that we have to get to a place where we just stand and we're not moved, and know that the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, is above all rule and authority and demonic forces that could ever come against us. And sometimes just knowing, I think and I believe this with all of my heart, I think sometimes we get so tired, and then just knowing that the victory is out ahead and that Satan will not thwart our plans, God's plans for our lives. Satan will not be able to hinder God's work in this world, which is leading up to the culmination of Jesus Christ coming. I think just knowing, sometimes, just knowing that the victory is ours brings some type of encouragement and strength to go on. I know sometimes it's a physical struggle. Sometimes it's an emotional struggle. Sometimes it's a spiritual struggle. I think a lot of it's spiritual. Just know this. Please know this, that when you stand, and I know there's times you don't want to stand, and it's hard to stand, and it's tough to stand, just stand. Just dig in. Paul says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Let's use that as our banner. Stand, stand, stand. And just know it only hurts for a while, and God is there with you. Maybe today you don't know Christ. Maybe today you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you've played church and you've done those things, but you really don't know Jesus Christ. That's always open. I don't like preaching sermons where you can't come and get saved. That's open. Maybe there's a battle going on in your life right now, and a spiritual struggle, war going on in your life. You can bring that up here too. Maybe you just need to say, God, I need to stand more. You can do that too. But please, leave here with this in your heart, that Jesus Christ will give you the victory and ultimately will give you strength when you need it most.